Good morning. Today's scripture reading will be from Romans 1, 16 through 17, Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, and Matthew 17, 14 through 20. Romans 1, 16 through 17. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first the Jew, and then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Matthew 17, 14 through 20. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you.
Good morning. My name is Leah Nafsinger, and my parents are Eric and Sarah Nafsinger, and my sister's name is Emma. My mom told me to keep this presentation funny, so I thought I'd begin with a knock-knock joke. Knock-knock. Lettuce. Let us pray. Lord, please help me to get through my presentation without stumbling across my words. Amen. Today, I will be sharing what I believe about God. To begin, I believe that God has sent his one and only Son to die for us and our sins. I don't know about you, but it's pretty cool to think that God loves us all so much that he was willing to give up his Son for us. Another thing that I believe about God is that he will always forgive us. Even when we make the biggest mistakes, he's still going to forgive us. He'll still be there for us. I believe that when we sin or make a mistake, we should pray and ask God for his forgiveness, and he will forgive us. God is always going to be there for us and love us no matter what. I believe that God's love is endless and it's everywhere. God is never going to stop loving us no matter who we are. He made us knowing that we will make mistakes and that we will sin. God still loves us. I also believe that God's plan is always better than ours. Sometimes we think that we have everything figured out, but in reality, we don't. We never know what might happen next. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, or next year. Only God knows what the future holds. One of my favorite verses, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." In this verse, it specifically says plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I believe that God always wants what's best for us. He's not going to give us more than we can handle. Every now and then, I find myself worrying about the future when I know I shouldn't be. I believe that even when it seems hard, we have to put our trust in God and know that his plan will always override ours. God carries all of the answers, and it can be so hard to put our trust in God while not knowing what's next, but we just need to know that he has everything under control. I believe that it is so important that we make time for God. My dad always says that if we don't make time for God now, why should he make time for us later? Ever since I heard my father say that, it has stuck with me. I believe that we need to make time for God because the more time we spend with him, the closer our relationship will get. For me, I think saying a prayer, listening to Christian music, or reading the Bible is a great way to spend time with him. I also think that sharing God's word is a great way to spend time with him. Another thing I believe about God is that he has made us exactly how he wants us to be. He has made us strong and courageous. God will always support us no matter what. I believe that he is our rock, our firm foundation. I believe that in life, we will get nowhere without him. I believe that we need God for everything, for the smallest things like going to the grocery store, but we also need him for big things like making big decisions, starting a new job, learning how to drive, stuff like that. I also believe that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, we will be saved. Another thing I believe about God is that he is the one and only God, and there is only one true God. And I believe that that will never change. I believe that God has given his son for us so that we can live a worry-free life. I believe that God is our rock and nothing can step between the relationship that we have with him. And finally, I believe that there is only one true God and he loves us very much. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Ollie MacDonald. My parents are Sue and Tony MacDonald, and my grandparents are Alice and Don Kleck. Today, I chose to talk about two stories in the Bible that mean a lot to me. Jonah and the whale is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. God had told Jonah to go to Nineveh to preach to the people about Jesus. Jonah was scared. He had been running away from God and avoiding him. And so God sent a whale to swallow Jonah. He spent 3 days in the whale and was able to ask God for forgiveness since he had been disobedient. God forgave Jonah and gave him the courage to go and preach to the people of Nineveh. Like Jonah, I have disobeyed God. God had Jonah swallowed by a whale, and while he was in there for 3 days, he was able to think and ask God for forgiveness. Sometimes we might need to be alone and have time to think and ask God for forgiveness for what we have done wrong. God answered Jonah's prayer, forgave him, and he was spit out of the whale. We can ask God for forgiveness, and he will always answer and forgive us, because when Jesus died on the cross, he died for all our sins. God has given me the courage to speak here today, just like he gave Jonah the courage to speak to the people of Nineveh. Speaking in front of people is something that is difficult for me. He has also given me the courage to ride in an airplane for the first time this summer without being nervous and to try many new things as I grow older. God will also give me the courage for when I enter high school this fall. I will be in a new building with new teachers and staff and more classes. Another favorite Bible story of mine is David and Goliath. This story is also about courage. The Israelites were at war with the Philistines. David's brothers were soldiers and were fighting in the front lines. David was a shepherd in the fields. His father sent food with David for his brothers. David got there and was curious about the fighting and about Goliath. Goliath came up to David and was taunting him. David told Goliath that even though the Philistines had a big army, the Israelites had God on their side. Goliath had lots of armor, a sword, and a man with a shield in front of him. David was just a defenseless shepherd boy. Goliath laughed at him, but David trusted God to keep him safe and stepped forward to fight Goliath. He used a slingshot and a smooth stone from the creek. He was able to kill the giant when the stone hit Goliath in the head. I like this story because I like to root for the underdog in many situations in life. Sometimes people are shy, afraid of what people might think, or they don't want to call attention to themselves. If they listen to the kind words of others, pray for courage, and trust God, they will gain confidence. In conclusion, I would like to say that there are many stories about courage in the Bible, and these two stories stood out to me the most.
Good morning. My name is Joshua Reeb, and I am the son of Pam and Scott Reeb. Today, I will be talking about salvation and my salvation. It was a struggle to sum up what I believe into a 5 to 7 minute speech. Thanks to the grace of Pastor Eric, it was originally going to be 3. Every idea that I had, I just rambled on and on for about 30 minutes. Then I read a book called The Oracle by Jonathan Kahn. It had one section that summarizes what I believe. Kahn writes, "I have still loved you with an everlasting love. And now I call you to leave the darkness and all that is past and all that I never willed or purposed for your life, that the days of your separation would come to an end. It is time to return. It is time to come home, to enter the inheritance of blessing you never knew but were born to enter. It is time for your jubilee. Come to me, and I will not turn you away, but will receive you. And I will wipe away all your tears. I will forgive all your sins. I will heal all your wounds. And I will turn all your sorrows into joy. And you will forget the days of separation. And I will make all things new. And I will bring you into a land where the crippled walk, where deserts bloom, where the blind see, where the defiled are pure, and where that which was lost is found again. I will bring you to a place you have never known and yet have always longed to be, to your promised land. And I will never leave you, and you will never again know what it is to be lost. For in that day you will have come home. You will be mine, and I will be yours forever. This quote from the Oracle communicates the message of salvation to me in a perfect sense. When I read that quote for the first time, it made an impact on me, and I could never quite let it go. Then, when I read it again and again, God showed me what I was to share today. It is not what I believe, but why I believe it. And that is because of my salvation. When Adam and Eve sinned, humans were separated from God. We were destined to eternal separation from God in hell. But God wanted us back, so he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us. It is only by grace that we are saved. It is only by grace that we can return to what was once lost. My mom wrote a letter about me that she keeps in the family Bible. It is marked July 8th, 2012. This is what it says. During his bedtime prayer, Joshua talked to Jesus about forgiving his sins. I asked Joshua if he wanted to not only ask for his sins to be forgiven, but to also ask Jesus into his heart. Joshua repeated the prayer after me. He admitted he has sinned and that Jesus died on the cross to save him by his blood. Joshua asked Jesus into his heart. What a wonderful day to know Joshua's name is now in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise you, God, Mommy. That was the night of my salvation. My life is a living testimony of God's grace and love. For each day I am renewed. When I sin, he still loves me. He doesn't push me away. He wants to draw me closer to him. I was saved on July 8th, 2012, but I have been getting saved and renewed each day since then. I have one final point to make. Each time I ask for God's forgiveness and grace, he always delivers, and I am wiped clean with the blood of the Lamb. For example, when I am angry and I ask God to calm me down, he does. When I am stressed or anxious for a test, I ask God that he would give me peace. And when I give up my worries and fears to God and let his will be done, I have no more fear or anxiety because I know he is bigger than any quiz, test, or exam. He is bigger than any grade I will get now or in the future. He is bigger than my classes and schoolwork. He is bigger than anything or anyone in my life because he is the one who created everything. He is the one where the world itself cannot contain all the books about what he has done. He is bigger than anything in the universe or the universe itself, for the universe itself cannot contain him. He is uncontainable because he is the great I am. I have a God that when I was broken, he came to me and mended my broken pieces, and he still does that today. My God is greater than all my sins, and my faith grows stronger each day because of the love he has for me. When I get called home, I want my faith to be as solid as a rock. I want my faith to be like that of Paul's. If I could have any scripture to represent what I want my faith and my life to be, I would want to have 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I want that verse to be a testimony to my life and my faith. My goal in life is not a goal that is in this life, but is determined by how I live in this life. As it says in Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The one thing I could ever wish for beyond all other things is just one moment between me and my Savior when I get called home. That when I enter through those pearly gates, that me and Jesus will hug each other, and he will say to me what it says in Matthew 25:21, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Amen.
Good morning. My name is Reagan Rutledge. My parents are Jeff and Stacy Rutledge. My grandma's Linda Rutledge, and my siblings are Molly and Judah Rutledge. The Bible memory verse that I've chosen is Isaiah 41, verse 10 from the Old Testament. It reads, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Those who are close to me know that I am a chronic worrier. I worry about everything, whether it's the math test tomorrow or the college entrance exams 3 years from now. I will go through every possible outcome that may occur, usually the negative ones, and try to put some form of a plan together. I also like things to be organized, to go a certain way, mine, and to run on a schedule. Unfortunately, sometimes my way isn't always God's way, and that's hard for me to accept. When I start to feel that the whole world is coming apart, I find comfort in turning to the Lord and remembering his words in Isaiah verse 10:41. Over time, I have come to interpret the verse and what God is trying to say in this way. I am not saying that you will never be scared or upset, but when you are, I will always be there for you. It's not your place to support yourself against everything the world will throw at you. Leave that to me. I will always be there to help you. Aside from this telling me that I don't need to be afraid, it also reminds me that I don't need to be in control of the world, that everything goes according to God's plan, not my own. God also uses people in my life to help counsel me. I know I have other Christians in my life to help guide me through any worrisome times and thoughts. I take our class creed to heart. I know that God is in control and that he created me to be perfect. But most of all, I know that he loves me and that no matter what the future has in store for me, I will never be alone.
They left me a few minutes to wrap up. I ran into a couple of young adults last night coming out of a restaurant. Two of them had been confirmed here at St. John's 15 to 20 years ago. And whenever I see one of our confirmands out in public, I remember them as youth. And I will remember these four just as well 15 to 20 years down the road. It's always amazing to go through an 8 o'clock service and hear them share so well, and hope they do the same at the 10:30 service and that there's no letdown in between. And if you can go home later today and reread the creed that these four put together and that they agreed on, if you can remember some of the thoughts that they have shared, and if you didn't catch them all the first time, they know that they are being live streamed, which means we have a permanent record of what you have shared today. And you can also listen to the radio next Sunday and hear yourself on the radio as well. But I am astonished. I am overwhelmed with awe. And I am inspired in faith by what each of you had shared. Not just the words that they shared, but their presence. And not just their presence, but knowing their personality. Knowing it took great courage for Ollie to come up here and share with you. I mean, that's the loudest I've heard him share in 2 years of confirmation. But Ollie, as I told you in Sunday school this morning, you were wonderful. I am going to always put microphones on Ollie and Reagan from now on in Sunday school and wherever because I can hear their voices in that volume, in your assurance. I know you were nervous, but I also know God's Spirit was within you as you shared this morning. I loved "Let us pray." Every time I talk to Lee about that, I'm going to take that out. I'm glad you left it in. And if you could sit next to Leah, both in confirmation and here in two services of worship, her right leg is always shaking. It's something that she does all of the time. And yet I told her it's good to be nervous because it's something new to be in front of people. We don't just take it for granted. And again, you shared very well in the aspect of what you believe. And then there's Joshua. Yes, he could still be speaking to you now. He could. I've read some of the work. But it's the aspect of just knowing the truth of salvation. And to know that these 13, 14-year-olds, these freshmen, having watched you grow up over the years, to know and to hear what they've shared, to be thankful for the parents and the families that you are a part of. And if you go back and look at Romans chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 11 and Matthew chapter 17, the readings that the four of you picked and that Ollie read for us, I want to go quickly to Matthew 17, verses 14 through 20. It's not about how much faith we have. Some people may look down at young freshmen and wonder about the depth of your faith, but that's not what's important, because there are six-year-olds that have more faith than a 90-year-old, and we've talked about that in the past. It's not about the amount of faith, but it's where your faith is placed. Our faith placed in Jesus Christ, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that faith, doesn't matter how big or how small, but that mustard seed, that smallest of seeds, if we have the right perspective of faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, in faith, we can say that prayer. And our fears can be calmed. God's plan will be revealed to us. We will be given the courage because of our faith in Christ. It's not the amount, but it's the how, it's the why. That small amount of faith, it's how we have that kind of faith in Christ. These four, they have shared it well this morning, and I'm going to hold each of you to your class creed so that when we start to have youth services once again, you four are at the first of the line of who I'm going to ask to lead in speaking or singing or putting some of the parts together. Because again, I believe what you have shared and who you are phenomenal representatives of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. So thank you for sharing, and may we give all praise and glory to God as His faithful children. Because what they've shared, we've heard, but it's invisible within their hearts, just as it's invisible within our hearts. But it is our words, and it is our actions that we bring before God to offer Him praise and glory. Amen.
When we give our offering, God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that if we cheerfully give from our heart, we will always have everything we need. God, in this our prayer of dedication, please accept these offerings given from our hearts for you to refresh our church and benefit our people. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. I invite our ushers to come forward to receive this offering. Thank you.
Thank you for your patience with me. I love to worship. So let us stand if we are able. Let us all stand if we are able. And let's sing the song, the hymn, The Solid Rock. It's found on page number 404 in your hymnal. And then after that, please remain standing for the benediction, which will be presented by Joshua Reeb. And then also remain standing for our benediction and song, which is number 244 in our hymnal. It's called The Trees of the Field. So The Solid Rock.
Receive this benediction from Revelation 22, 20 through 21. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen."